No ho ho ho! There it is. These are the Christmas songs of our lives.
Welcome to the latest episode of Songs of Our Lives. It's a 2025 Christmas special. I'm Brad Rose. I'm an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and someone who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. And Christmas. I don't know. Do I think about Christmas far more than healthy? I don't know. I like Christmas. Anyway, this week, it's a special episode. It's the Christmas episode, and my guest is Peter Taylor. Peter is... like I said, he's a Foxy Digitalis lifer, started writing for the site back in 2006, is back on the site doing the Inside Number 9 podcasts, mixes, which are so freaking good, and he also makes music as MABH, big fan of that stuff, apparently. I didn't even realize this, but Digitalis back in the day put out his first ever tape, so link to all that in the show notes, but this was just a lot of fun. I put out a call kind of looking for Christmas episodes, or people who want to do a Christmas episode, and Peter was one of the first to respond, and it just seemed like a really good idea to, you know, Peter's done so much for the site since it's come back in the last 4 years, and it was like, hey, let's get on a call, let's talk about Christmas stuff and just have a good time, and that's exactly what we did. I do want to give a special shout out to Omni Gardens. Steve from Moonglyph's solo project, he put out a Christmas album. We talked about it couple years ago on my old Seltzer Salon podcast, or no, it was on the Foxy Digitalis podcast, and he did it. I was so excited. Like, he was saying he'd been thinking about it. I was like, you got to do this. You got to do it. And I'm so glad he did. It's so good. I'll link to that in the show notes too. Great for, you know, I don't know, hanging out on Christmas Eve, put on some Omni Gardens. Have a good time. Yeah, but that's it. I don't know. So Peter's Inside Number 9 Best of 2025, or Favorites of 2025, will be out tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Tuesday the 16th, and the Foxy Digitalis year-end extravaganza, my big ridiculous article will be on Thursday, which is the 18th. And then Foxy and Songs for Lives, we're off till next year. So Songs for Lives will be back with new episodes early in January, kind of deciding if we're going to try to keep doing them weekly, but it might be go every other week because it's a lot of work and there's a lot going on. But we'll see. I've already got a couple great episodes in the can for next year. And that's about it. Thank you all for listening this year. It's been amazing. I have so much fun doing this. I'm so glad people enjoy it. Please like, subscribe, leave a review, a rating, all that stuff. I don't know. Just, you know, put the algorithm in our damn favor. And hey, if you're feeling festive, throw a few bucks away. Patreon.com/FoxyDigitalis, the Jewel Garden, Ko-Fi, all those things. Every little bit helps because it is not super cheap keeping all this stuff going, but it's so worth it because it is, it's fun, and there's so many cool artists out there that people should be paying attention to. I don't know. Yeah, that's it. Anyway, happy holidays, all that shit from me, from Foxy Digitalis. I'm going to say from Peter, even though, you know, he's not here, but yeah, whatever. And I hope you enjoy this episode. My guest today, I'm not even sure how to totally introduce you. I mean, musician, artist, writer, podcaster, a Foxy Digitalis lifer. I think that's the, anyway, it's Peter Taylor. Welcome to the show. Woo! When did you start writing for Foxy? Do you remember I don't know if I remember exactly. Vaguely, do you remember?
It must have been before I sent you the demo. So I think we put the first tape out in 2008.
Oh my God.
So it would have been like 2006 or 7, maybe?
Pushing 20 years.
Yeah, pushing 20 years. I can't believe it.
I know. It's an actual lifetime, not a...
Yeah. Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, and just, like, Peter, whenever... I always tell people this. Whenever I brought Foxy D back in 2021, I guess, you were literally the first person who I heard from. And that it was... And you were just like, hell yeah, like, if I can do anything.
Yeah.
And your Inside Number 9 podcast has been, for me, it's like a monthly highlight. I'm always so excited to get those when I get it in my inbox. And I don't know, you do a great job finding interesting themes and connecting stuff and introducing me to a lot of music I've never heard. So
that's good. There's a lot of weird and wonderful stuff. I mean, I'm blessed here. We've got 7 great record shops
in
a small town. So it's like, yeah, great.
That's amazing. I want to mention, of course, I'm going to let you pronounce your music project because I've realized it's one of those things where it's like I've read it 1,000 times and said it in my head. I don't know that I've ever said it out loud. So how do you pronounce it? How do you actually pronounce it?
Well, I've kind of reduced it now to just M-A-B-H.
Fair.
Easy.
For this reason?
There's a story behind it. My brother used to take the piss out of me for listening to lots of strange music from bands with ridiculous names. Whether it was, the only example I can think of was maybe Godspeed You Black Emperor back when I was at university.
Sure.
So we kind of joked around coming up with the most pretentious name we could. So we came up with Mortuus Aurus and the Black Hand, which basically means a dead ear and a withered dead hand. And it kind of come from, because the first album was a bit of more of a kind of very minimal tape-based, just black noise, kind of that kind of thing. And it kind of fit. And then I was stuck with it, which is why I've kind of initialized it now, which kind of suits a little bit more because the music's evolved so much, I think, since then.
Right, yeah.
It's gone through quite like leaps and bounds, not necessarily in quality, but in in experimenting different things. So, yeah, so just M-A-B-H, I think, is the...
That's easier.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
And you just released. So is it, I was looking at that. It's kind of two things, but is one of them kind of there's the Meditations release, and then there's the one I'm not going to pronounce because it's in French.
Yeah. Neither am I. My French.
Fair. And then there's also like a physical release that combines them both. Is that right, too?
Yeah, yeah. So just, I just wanted to put both releases together. A few people missed out because I do limited art runs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Going to handful of copies. So I've just released this, and it's the last two albums. One is field recordings from my local area mixed with live improvisation and me playing different synthesizers. And then the following album is me limiting myself to just using my phone to make something. So I wanted to do something very, very limited because all my equipment basically went to shot. and I was thinking, well, you can get all this on your phone. Let's just see what you can do.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And it's like when people sort of say, oh, you know, AI can do anything now. But then using the phone, I was like, actually, it's really difficult. So it's a very sort of minimal jam session, basically. But I was really pleased with the results. And then the second album with a French title, which I'll have to get up to read, but is much more intricate, layers on layers on layers, lots of walking to discover sounds, just to paint a picture of my new surroundings, having moved from the UK to Switzerland.
Yeah, no, that one, I really, that it's been one of my favorite things you've done in a while. Like, I mean,
definitely been for me too.
You're prolific, which is I admire and relate to. Anyway, but this one, it's always like I'm always trying to keep up with what you're doing, but this one really kind of stood out. And I wish I could pronounce the title, but there'll be a link in the show notes, everybody. So
I should be able to pronounce the record of my own record. Yeah, it's Chemin qui ne mène nulle. It's basically like path to nowhere. You know,
beautiful.
Which means me walking around that psychogeography bullshit. You know,
yes,
I take everything in, and yeah,
yeah. Well, we're here also to talk about Christmas, obviously. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, and I don't want to like get in. I won't ask. Some of the questions I was thinking of asking, I was like, well, we'll kind of get into this with the songs, but Do you enjoy Christmas? Do you enjoy the holiday season?
Yeah, massively. It's always been, well, we've been quite lucky, like with our family, to always have quite special Christmases. Mm-hmm. Since I was a kid, it was always very magical. We always had grandparents come and visit us. So it was kind of an extended family event.
Yeah.
It's just always been one of my favorite times of year. This year's been very different. You realize how much you rely on repetition, the kind of having friends and family around. And that's what's been very different this year is like, you know, even as an adult, you know, I'd see my still see my friends from school.
Right.
From we'd go to our friends' houses as a kid and we'd play video games, you know, we'd play GoldenEye and whatever. That evolved to we'd do the 12 beers of Christmas where we'd go into central London and try and drink 12 pints of beer. To varying degrees of success as we got older. And then now that's kind of sort of subtracted out to not having that. So it's amazing how, you know, missing like the TV specials and just walking into familiar shops or going to work and talking about the Christmas party, that's kind of all stopped this year. So this year is a kind of, it's good, but it's different.
Yeah.
And I do miss that.
Well, let's just get into it because there's like all these questions I want to ask about like Christmas memories and stuff. I think we're going to cover a lot of that stuff. So we will start not as always because I've literally never done this before. The last Christmas episode we did was nothing like this. So it's going to be fun. So what's the first Christmas song that you remember as a kid?
First one is Christmas is a Coming by Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
And we had this CD that I can never find anymore if I go out to see, of this amazing Bing Crosby recording of him and his family. All the kids sing on it. There's some terrible but wonderful songs on it. But for me, it, you know, I can still picture my nan, who's long gone now, walking down the stairs, you know, me running into her bedroom, like not allowed to go in there till like it's at least 6 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
And it was the first record that came on, and it was the record we listened to when we'd open up our like pillows. So we had like a pillow full of presents that we'd open up.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, from the age of as early as I can remember, really, it was the song that brought Christmas. And it has that quality of recording as well. Something about those recordings from that time, especially when you have a choir or multiple voices, that's just like unmatchable.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
There's some. It is really interesting because I was listening to this and I'd heard it before, but not super familiar with it. But yeah, like, and then I started kind of listening through some of the other stuff that's on the album. And yeah, there is something about that, the choir, like the, like just all the voices that sounds, it's like almost otherworldly in a way, but it's so, I don't know. It just feels so like comforting in a way. Like there's this familiarity to it, but it's also feels alien. I don't know. It's strange.
And it's odd. The album, like, Bing freestyles over it. So he'll be singing about something and then he'll cut and he goes, "This bad boy's just got his wings." Right. You know, like he's coming in with a bit of scat, well, you know, and then he's just doing these odd things and it's just bizarre, but it works. And, you know, from listening to this in a, you know, small town south of London in Surrey, which is some, you know, major star in the US, it connects us somehow, even though they talk about eggnog and things that we had no idea what that even was.
Oh yeah, I never even thought of that. Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah. Well, what's a Christmas song that either like kind of makes you emotional or brings you to tears, that kind of thing, or, you know, feel that kind of way?
Well, the feels. Silent Night, but particularly Nat King Cole version. His voice is unmatched. I mean,
yes,
I can't. I know there's a lot of great singers out there, but there aren't many that have that level of kind of effortlessness to their voice. Yes. I mean, maybe someone like Nina Simone, but he'll just sort of just deliver and breathe, and it's there. He's not playing with his voice. It's effortless. It's just wonderful, and the song I didn't really like as a kid, you know, it was one of those ones that we'd always have to sing in assembly. And I hated the kind of, I never liked any kind of organized religion when I was a kid. I used to have to go to like Sunday parade and stuff. And it, do my edit. But when I heard this version, I was like, oh, that's magic. And then I picked it up on vinyl maybe about 7 years ago, but a very tired old scratched version, which has that wonderful crackle that sounds like a fireplace when you play it.
Yes.
That just brings all the feels.
Yeah. One of my sort of prized possessions that I inherited from my dad's mom, so my grandma on my dad's side, was she didn't have very many records. She didn't have like a record collection, but she had maybe 10 or a dozen Christmas records, and this was one of them. And I also associate this album with my grandmother, and it makes me very emotional. Mm-hmm. Oh Holy Night is the one that is like my go-to on that, like everything.
Yeah, that's it.
Like you said, he opens his, but he's just like an actual angel, I think. Like the way that he,
I think of anyone that was put through so much publicly, you know, from when they used to lighten his skin through, you know, makeup, but he'd sit and perform through the most adverse of scenarios and just melt every heart in a building. Yeah. And I can't think of anyone since that has done that with such a profound delivery.
Yeah, no, and that's, I think the effortlessness is what is the right word, because it does, it seems so, it's just this thing that's just there. And I know that it's not effortless. I know that it's like the tone is, it's like all the work that went into it. And that makes it even more incredible to me, is that it doesn't, you know, it just comes off as.
And that's, I suppose, that's what you get when you get a master.
Right. But yeah, nah, love this record. This is one of my, it's like my nighttime Christmas record. Like, yeah, I don't want to.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, what on the other side of the things, what's a song, Christmas song, instantly kind of puts you in the holiday spirit?
Yeah, I kind of hit this with a bit of a disclaimer for having two, but first one I'll go for is The Waitresses. I mean, Christmas Wrapping is a great song.
It's just a great song. Like, it's a Christmas song, and all, but it's just a great fucking song.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't a Christmas theme, I could listen to this all times of years. Embarrassingly, I thought it was Blondie for years, because I'm an idiot. But there was another song that I think a lot of my friends thought was another band. There's a Lonely This Christmas by Mudd. Everyone thought it was Elvis when we were growing up, and no, it's a band from Guildford in Surrey near me. I don't know if that song ever made it to the States, but that's a cracker as well. But yes, The Waitresses, I mean, glorious song. Just, so good.
Yeah. And you also mentioned the... Yes.
2,000 Miles, Pretenders.
Yeah.
Especially for my daughter, because she was like, if you don't mention this, I'll kill you.
Love it.
So I was like, yes, this is great. Another one, just, I was never a huge Pretenders fan and kind of grew to love them over the years. Mm-hmm. And I love how arrogant the fade is at the start of this song. It's so long.
I know.
It's like, I was trying to think of a kind of, you know, is it like getting into a warm bath? But no, you'd have to go into a plunge pool for about 50 meters before it reaches peak volume. But it's a wonderful song, and she just delivers it in classic Chrissie Hynde kind of way.
Right.
And, which is what I also like about the Waitress version. It's kind of, it has that, they've not just made a Christmas song, they've made a song which sounds like them.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think that's, the fade in, that cracks me up. The audacity to do that on just a not, like, just one of your songs is something, but then to do it on this, like, holiday song, it's like...
Yeah. I mean, I don't even think someone doing the most minimal ambient would go, yeah, so I'll have to bring it up a bit sooner.
I know.
Let's get to the point of it.
The audacity is beautiful. All right, what is objectively the best Christmas song of all time?
Yeah, I thought this one would be difficult, but I found it really easy. I went straight to In Dulce Jubilo by Mike Oldfield, because it's just incredibly wonderful, and it's so many good memories of this song. And to wig out on the guitar can be one of the most irritating things. I mean, just watch the film Barbie and you'll how wonderfully she criticizes men on guitars.
Yeah.
There's something about this particular track that I was just like, No, I'm with you. If I could learn how to play that, I would, but I don't have the patience. Yeah, it's a fantastic song. It sounds like Christmas. It's instrumental, which is unusual, you know, in the kind of hits of Christmas. So.
Right, right. Yeah, it is amazing how something that is, like, it's instrumental, but it is just Christmas sonified.
I mean, he's basically, he got breakfast, lunch, and dinner all in one track. Right. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, and you mentioned the video too, which I'd never seen until you sent it over, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like, I do everything. Get me a split screen. Which is good. And I was like, oh, fair play, Mike. I mean, I'm sure you're impossible to work with, which is why most of your stuff is solo. But embrace it.
Yeah.
So far, like, one of my favorite memories is that we have to drive all over the country through Christmas just to sort of see, relatives. So we're going like north of London, south of London, Sussex, up and down, hours in the car. Yeah, when that track comes on, each of us will take an instrument. I'm on drum. You know, Eleanor will be on, not recorder, pipes or guitar, whatever. Everyone takes an instrument, and everyone has their moment. It's so good.
That is awesome. Yeah. And so everybody listening, so I can always make the playlist on YouTube just because it's the easiest and it's free. But it is a video playlist in that case. So everybody watch the video. Go watch the video.
Please do.
And you won't be disappointed.
Give your family instruments to play.
Yes.
And anything other than guitar.
Everyone have a drum. No.
Any wind instrument when you air it is just amazing.
It's very true. Well, what's a Christmas song you loved as a kid but doesn't really hit you the same way now?
It's just super hard, actually, because as with most of this list, they're all songs that me as a child.
Right.
But I put I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard, because it's the song that's always played in the UK around Christmas, or it has been at least up until recently. It's either that or Slade, and I had to pick one, and I picked Wizard. I don't know why I picked Wizard, but it's just the reason I picked it is because anything with a children's choir, I can't deal with. And which is weird because one of my later songs has a children's choir in it, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. The ubiquitous Christmas song, I don't know if it's there, but here, and we'll get to it later. If you are a paying Patreon member, I used to love the song, and I'm not going to give it away because I don't want to, I think you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But now it's become such a thing that I can't.
Yeah, and that is a thing, you know. And you if you ate, delicious, like so a big massive cheese sandwich every day, you'd get bored of it, and it's that thing. It becomes sickly sweet, and this is wonderful when you hear it maybe after a couple of years,
right?
But every year and constantly, Christmas party, office party, and
even if it was once or twice a year, you know, but it's like 50 times
in
2 weeks. Yeah. Okay. Well, what's a Christmas song most people consider cheesy or annoying, but you kind of secretly or not so secretly love it? It's going to be not so secret now, but
no, not so secret. As well as, like, you know, with my podcast and stuff, you know, I love music that's out there. And this is quite an odd confession, but it's Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richard. And there is very little good to say about Cliff Richard's music, apart from the Shadows were pretty cool, right? But everything since is dog shit. It's objectively bad as well. I mean, there's nothing redeeming about it. But as a 5-year-old, I remember watching the video and like the first notes come in. And the video's got like kids filmed, and it's not actually creepy even to this day, even though it could be. But it's, I don't know, it's just wonderful. It's naive. It's cheesy, but it's, I don't know, just does me in.
Yeah, it's funny on the last episode of this podcast, so like regular episode that I did with Matt Evans, for this question, but it's like normal, like what's the song that people hate and you love? He picked the Paul McCartney Christmas song, which, and we were talking about, and I also love that song, but we were talking about how it's so corny. But he had to know it was corny. Like, it's intentionally corny, but not in this sort of hipster ironic way.
Yeah, but what's good about the Paul McCartney one is the bass is so off. It makes it great. And I remember listening, and it's all a bit odd. And
yeah.
That makes me love it. And my daughter hates it because it's just like, she's like, oh, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Whereas Cliff is pure.
Yeah.
Synthetic cheese.
Yes.
But I can definitely see, Paul McCartney is definitely up there.
The thing, I remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, there was like a meme that I saw, and it made me love it even more, where the person was like, this song sounds like people are sitting around doing a bunch of like pagan and witchcraft shit. And then somebody walks in and is like, oh no, having a lovely Christmas. I was like, oh my God, that's so perfect.
And I love it because the video is filmed a few miles from where my parents live.
Oh, wow.
From the South Downs in the UK. It's actually filmed in a little pub down there. So, and my dad's the biggest Beatles fan of everyone I know. So
that must have been huge for him. Yeah. all right, what is a Christmas song you could listen to year round, not just for the holidays?
Well, I put Low, Little Drummer Boy, and I know Little Drummer Boy is the most Christmassy of songs.
Yeah,
that droney tone in this song just is incredible, and anything that Low do, I mean, R.I.P. Mimi, but yeah, that's a great Christmas album. They're a great band. They hold such an important place in my life. Like Things We Did in the Fire, just I can barely listen to that because it's so emotionally wrought.
Sure, yeah.
And even more so now, and like listening to Alan speak now and stuff, you're just like, he's still doing incredible stuff, but
I know.
It's like Microphones, you know, after his part passed, like when you put that into it after, anyway, when those moments and that album, and that song in particular is just magic.
Yeah. I mean, I feel a little bit of, like the whole Christmas album, you could play it for me in May and I'd be happy.
Yeah, right. I think the only thing that like shaves off that is, okay, always think of Angela from The Office singing that song. But maybe that makes it even better for me because just see her little body stuff. It's such a, I love that. I love any version of that song, and they just nailed it. I mean,
yeah, there are a lot of great versions. I mean, the Bing Crosby, David Bowie version, which is still one of every time I think that's one of those things that I'm like, if I was a child and somebody showed me that, it's like, this must be AI. Yeah.
That's such a good thing. It looks incredibly bizarrely unreal.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I still, when I listen to it, I still feel like, oh, maybe I'm in the room with these two guys. You know, it has that kind of, even though it's
amazing,
they look very uncomfortable with each other.
It's so good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Which is funny. I was looking at, to go off on one, what people demanded as their like green room or backstage requirements.
Yeah.
And the amount of booze that Frank Sinatra had was insane.
Oh, I've seen that before. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It was the same as Motorhead for the entire Motorhead and their entourage. I mean, Bowie's, there was less than I thought. It was basically cigarettes and Coca-Cola. But yeah, I mean,
Sinatra, he was on one, man.
He was on one always. And he, like, in terms of sort of, he doesn't sound as effortless to me as Nat King Cole, but.
Like, it's in the same realm. It's in
the same breath, and there is an incredible record that he did with, I can't remember the name of the guy, a Brazilian guy. It's just a Brazilian guy on guitar and him doing classics like Ipanema and stuff. But that is like him as it's most relaxed, and it is stunning. I'll send you the link to it. But it's, I think it was Destroyer on What's In My Bag. I think it was him that picked up for me. It was one of those things. But yeah, that's an incredible record.
All right, what's the Christmas song that means the most to you? Not necessarily the song itself, memory, a person, something you associate it with.
Definitely Wham, Last Christmas. Obviously, it's a classic. My mum is like the biggest George Michael fan. And obviously, he died Christmas as well.
Yeah.
I have a huge love for George Michael. His pop to soulful transition, and there's a lot of not great stuff. There's some great disco stuff that he did. He's just one of those pop artists that, I don't know, you just feel so much for, because I don't know how much pain he was. And it shines through. But for me, I can, listening to the music, I can, now I'm over in my 40s now, but I can see my mum in her 30s as I was a kid, you know? And
yeah,
anytime I hear his voice, the only person that comes into, well, two people come into my head is George and mum.
Oh, I love that. And what a voice. I mean, talk about somebody who could sing anything.
Yeah.
I feel like he's one of those artists who I don't, is underappreciated at like the sheer like skill of a singer, like his ability to sing.
Oh man, his songs for the century that he did could be seen as one of those like Michael Bublé records.
Yeah,
it's not. It's so powerful. Even when I don't know how to pronounce it, Bon Iver, mm-hmm. he covered a George track, or I don't even know if it was a George track, but it was a track that George Michael did.
Right.
If I can say you love me when you don't, I don't know the name of the song, but it's so stunning. And but the way that George delivers it, and when he does his songs of the century, when he does the stuff from the 30s to 40s to 50s, mm-hmm. it's absolutely spellbinding.
Yeah, no, it blows my mind. He had this also, that sort of like chameleon like ability. He could sing anything and sing it beautifully. I still remember, like, you know, I mean, it was the concert for Freddie Mercury or whatever, and they had all these people doing it. And it's like, of course he did Somebody to Love, because that's the vocal performance on that song is ridiculous. But he, I mean, like, crushed it.
He crushed it. But he's like a great actor. He has his emotions just beneath the surface.
Yeah.
They'll come out. And I think he spent all of his life dimming those down.
Yeah.
Through weed, through alcohol, through denial about his sexuality, through pounding from the press. And his music gave him a chance to kind of get past mm-hmm. that. And it, like, this little kind of Greek boy from England just coming and blowing up and just capturing the hearts of everyone. Yeah, he's an absolute king. Yeah, love him.
Yeah. All right, what's your favorite Christmas song?
Yeah, I mean, this, like with most of mine, I've gone with the obvious, but this is because it's Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a song that you can listen to at every Christmas party. It's a song I can happily play in the morning. It's a song I can sing with my family. It's a song I can sing after 10 pints and still remember the words. And it's Fairy Tale, New York, by The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic for a reason.
Yeah.
What a song.
What a song, what performance, you know, seeing them over the years, you know, the tragedy of her dying so young, and then everyone taking up the flame, and then obviously he passed a few years back as well. Amazing.
Amazing.
And it's sad, but it's happy and it's joyous. Growing up in the UK, obviously we've got loads of Irish people as well. It has that kind of,
sure, yes,
you know, camaraderie. You go to, I mean, we're a pub culture, so you go to the pub and everyone sings together, and there's not one person in there who's not singing along. And it's not trite. I don't know. It just feels good.
Yeah. No, it's the right choice. That's almost. Well, hey, this is a lot of fun, but before you go, since it's end of the year, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your favorite record of the year?
Favorite record of the year. This is tough.
Or favorite couple. I don't know. You can name a few, but it is fucking hard.
I'm going to refer to my list because I chased my list down. Sorry. You're going to have to fucking open it. It's been an interesting year because, hang on. Okay. Can I give two?
Sure. Absolutely. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. So I'm going to go for Mike's Showbiz. Is absolutely awesome. I have had that on repeat. Absolute banger. I love Mike. I've loved his stuff for so long. this is probably the maybe the most accessible, and I'm really annoyed that he's just released a deluxe edition. I have to buy it again for $20 and I need it's a great album. The artwork's amazing. The music's amazing.
Oh, man, yeah.
It's great. And I'd say L Sweatshirts is kind of teeing for pole position, but I'd say this one just tipped it for me. And I compare them both because they have that kind of droll, rumbling lyricism that makes them comparable. I'm going to give you three, sorry, because I can't do two.
Oh, it's all good.
James Blackshaw, Unraveling in Your Hands. Oh my God, this album came like a ton of bricks and I needed it. I've loved James Blackshaw's music for so long. Oh. I've seen him live so many times. Sunshine on Foxy.
Hey.
Stick it in, but was just the best album. Watching YouTube clips of him playing on morning TV, you know, just like in, I think in Europe or somewhere. He's just incredible. And there's one track in particular on that record where it has this kind of ascending piano over his strumming is just one of the best things I've ever heard. That floored me. And I'd say, what else?
I'm so glad that James is making music again.
Yes, it was so sad to see him stop. Are you still in contact?
A little bit. I'd reached out to him a couple years ago just to be like, hey. and we went back and forth a little bit. Then I've been trying to convince him to come on Songs of Our Lives.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving up. I've known James for, it's funny. I knew him first because he ran a small like distro. So I don't know if anybody remembers Boa Melody Bar or like Volcanic Tongue, like that kind of thing. I can't remember the name of it. It was some Japanese name. And he had reached out to me to stock some Digitalis stuff. And then we would just exchange emails. And he was like, oh, hey, by the way, I've been making some music. I'd like to send it to you to see what you think. And then he sends me, I think it was the thing that ultimately ended up being, it was the first thing that was on Celebrate Psy Phenomenon. He sent me that and then Lost Prayers, Emotionless Dances, which was the first thing I put out. I was just like, what the hell, dude?
It's more incredible.
what are you doing running a distro? Like,
you're a master of the art.
Yeah. And then just to see like the way he just, speaking of somebody like honing their craft and building and exploring and
he's one of those few performers as well that I've seen that's like brought me to like emotion. Like Alistair Roberts was another one, you know, where they can really capture that. They're just masters of their craft and they're clever and they're witty and they're inventive. And you could listen to a bit of it and go, you know, that's some well plucked guitar.
Right.
But then you listen to it and you're like, no, this is magic.
Yeah.
Is it Joseph Allred's the only person recently that has really like taken that for me?
And, he's like the one that he was here a couple months ago and I got to see him and wow, it was just, I mean, everything he, and I haven't ever seen James live, but I imagine it's the same thing. Everything just kind of stops.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Go on.
One more. You want to mention one? You were going to mention, I think you were about to mention one more.
I'll probably go for, I'm going to mention Karen Schomer's August, which I am on, but it's incredible. I love Karen and her work with Sky Furrows is insane.
Yeah.
And I love Eric and I love Mike. So Eric Hardam and Mike Griffith. They
two other Foxy DOGs, man. Yes. They both wrote for the site.
And we all got to know each other. Like,
oh, there you go.
So Eric put out one of mine and I worked with Mike, put out one of mine and I did a collab with Mike back in maybe 2009.
Amazing.
Just such good people. And I've done a collab with Karen, which is one of my favorite releases I've ever done. Her poetry over my noisy ambient stuff. Yeah, it's so good. And this record she worked with the guy from Ivan the Terrible, Mike Watt. loads of great artists.
Yeah, it's such a cool record. The whole concept behind it is great, and all the different people. And it's, the thing that really amazes me about it is because it's, what, 30 different people or something? Yeah, yeah. It's such a cohesive record. Like,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
And she writes me, like, it reminded me a bit of Cozy Funny Tutty's Art, Sex, and Music. She gets right under your skin and it's raw and the words are just like, I'm uncomfortable and then I'm enjoying it. And I was just like, yeah. And I love her delivery as well. And yeah, she's a great human. So
yeah. Awesome. Well, cool. Okay. Well, everybody go listen to those records. Listen, if you're hearing this on Tuesday, Peter's year end mix article, it'll be out tomorrow. And then the Foxy mine will be out on Thursday. And then going to disappear for a couple weeks. But hey, Peter, this is an absolute delight. I'm so glad we did this.
Yes. Nice to finally talk in person after years.
I know.
Of emailing.
Yeah. Almost two freaking decades.
And, emailing, yeah.
And just thank you for your continued contributions to making Foxy D what it is.
And thank you for Foxy D. And thank you for everything you do. And Merry Christmas to you and your son. And so you, my love to, as well. To Anna and Eden as well, because
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
Merry Christmas. Awesome. I still have Eden's thumbprint on my first tape. So,
oh, geez, I forgot. I mean, I'm gonna have to go.
Yeah,
I've got at least one copy of every Digitalis release. I'm gonna have to go like find that. Yeah, it's got
her, and my sister has that cover tattooed on her back.
Holy shit!
It's the sign language one, if you remember. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Oh man, awesome! Is that album on your Bandcamp?
Yes, somewhere way down.
Okay, I'm gonna put a link to that too, because why not?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Once again, thank you to Peter Taylor, absolute king. Man, what a fun episode this was. I'm gonna do a Christmas special every year. I've decided now that I get a good like question list. And shout out to Cult Love for the first one a couple years ago. I didn't do one last year because I just couldn't get my shit together. But I think I found a good format. And we'll see you again in 2026. Check out all his picks, playlists in the show notes. Check out Inside Number 9 of Foxy Digitalis, MABH. There's good stuff. And that Omni Gardens Christmas album, again, can't recommend it enough. That's it. That's it for this year. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being here. Hope you made it through this year as unscathed as possible, because it's been a gnarly one, but the important thing is we're still here. So, until next year, keep on listening to whatever the hell you want.